Hey there. You're listening to Crosshairs Radio, a Wide Angle Podium Network show. And this is episode 32. So much happening on this episode. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to begin with Jens Dekker, junior cyclocross world champion. He's on the show. Evie Richards, U23 cyclocross world champion. She's on the show. Tom Mason, world champion cyclocross badass. He's on the show. Friends of the show, JB Hancock, Scott Dean Buck, Sean Cooley, they're going to check in with what's going on down under in Australian CX. And then we're going to start things off chatting with Jeremy Powers for a bit. Why are we chatting with Jeremy? Because we are putting on a cyclocross camp here in Washington, D.C. that's happening August 12th through 14th. And I want to make sure all of you have the opportunity to go. I also want to make sure that you have no excuses. So I brought Jeremy on just to talk about why you need to go to that camp, why you need to be there, and what the benefits are. So we're going to chat with him now, and then I'll come back and introduce the rest of the show. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for taking the time out to chat. So where are you at right now?
Hey, Bill. I'm actually out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm racing the Tulsa Tough Criteriums circuit races. So been out here for the last week doing some promotional stuff, doing some charity stuff, and just hanging out with the cycling community in Tulsa. It's been great, really good crew out here, and always enjoy coming out to the Midwest, technically, of the United States.
Yeah, and pretty cool off season for you so far. You know, this and also a trip to Iceland that looked amazing.
Definitely, yeah. We were launching the new bike. It's called the Paralane. It's a gravel bike that Focus has coming out. It's very exciting, and there's going to be some video and some photography accompanying that trip. That's going to be, I think, you know, very. It's going to be very appealing. How's that? I'll keep it PG-13, but it's really going to be beautiful to watch. I'm excited to see it myself.
Yeah, I saw some of the Instagram photos, and just the environment just looked amazing.
Yeah.
Lastly, before we get to the reason I wanted to ring you up, was your new teammate looking pretty good out there in her first NCC crit.
I know. I was very proud of Ellen. Ellen, for those that don't know, you know, doesn't really race much on the road, but as one of the things that, you know, Alec Donahue is her coach, and I am her, I would say mentor and friend. But at the beginning of the season, we had talked about Ellen doing a nice roadblock, and it was surprising because I hadn't actually heard from her on it in a while. And so I was like, well, I guess Ellen doesn't really want to go to Tulsa. And then when I was in Iceland, she was like, hey, what's going on with Tulsa? And I was like, oh, God, I got to book some tickets. So I did, and we made it happen from Iceland to Tulsa. And I'm glad I did, because I think the speed work is going to be great for her fitness. And I also just think it's a great experience for her, you know, again, being very green to the road racing thing, but having a nice sprint and being a killer on the bike. It was really awesome to see her get third place, because I don't think anyone, including her, really expected it. And so that's what, you know, that's what's special when they just go out there and flap their wings and they come away with the result. It's, you know, for everyone, I think it's really nice.
Yeah, it's got to be something going from unknown to marked, unknown in road racing to a marked woman in like 24 hours.
That's right. It's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is June, but yes, it's never too early to start thinking about cyclocross, and we have planned in August 12th through 14th, another one of our cyclocross camps in Washington, D.C. that you're going to be heavily involved in. We've been doing this for years and really excited to once again do it. And I just wanted to get, you know, we've been doing this so many years that I wanted to get your feelings on why it's still viable, why people should attend a cyclocross clinic, or, you know, since we do multiple days, we're calling it a camp, and what the main benefits someone's getting out of that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've done these types of, intensive camps, clinics for many years. And I just find that it's a nice way to give back. I think that there's a lot of people that can learn And, you know, if they're getting into it, there's obviously the beginner side of it, which is let's learn proper techniques so we don't hurt ourselves in this new, you know, this new sport, right? You wouldn't go into a gym and just pick up, you know, 30-pound weights and start going to town. You'd hurt yourself. And the same thing applies to cyclocross. And it's really important that you learn the basics of how to get on and off the bike and how to not twist an ankle and how to kind of warm up before a race and just talk tactics and kind of, you know, pre-season and pre-race everything. So we go through it all. I think that, you know, for me, I love interacting with people. I love talking. I think we've had a lot of success, and I know that people have really enjoyed themselves at the camps in the past, and I love doing them, and I like talking to people. I'm a people person. So, yeah, I'm excited to come down again and do a couple of days with you guys because, like you said, it's a tradition now at this point. We've done it for many years. I'd say as far back as maybe even 2008, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so it's got to be 2008, 2009. Yeah, definitely around there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're also starting out once again. We'll do our Friday night event at Bike Doctor Waldorf. You know, I think that we changed it up a little bit last year where we had a video component to it. I want to do that again. And you and I have had the opportunity to sort of do a little bit of a world tour even on that. So we've honed our presentation.
Definitely. Yeah. Last year we were able to take some clips from, you know, racing some of my highlights and then other riders' highlights and just kind of dissect them and talk about them and almost do, you know, a take on your show on the Svenja show, but kind of make it more tailored towards my racing and what I've done and then bring that to, I don't know, there were probably about 50 people there last year at the Bike Doctor. So it was cool. I loved doing that. And then we did that again in Tokyo. And yeah, it's more of a show now. So I think it's fun. I'm looking forward to doing that again. Then it's a nice opportunity to just talk to people and do some Q&A and kind of get some of the early, you know, questions that are looming, like what about tubulars or what about this? Just kind of talk about that stuff, because I think when you're coming into a new sport, you know, when you're at a race, it's tough to walk up to a pro and have that access and to be able to ask those questions. And those are the people that you really want to, because they've made it their lives to really focus on this and make it their, you know, make it their lives. So yeah, to be able to kind of, you know, have that time with people and be able to actually put a lot of energy into the answers, I think is nice. And it's a really good opportunity to learn, I think.
Yeah, and then lastly, you know, going back to the clinic, it's once again going to be at the Armed Forces Retirement Home in Washington, D.C., which is the site of DCCX, which is a UCIC2 race. And we'll have a little shorter, but pretty much the main course set up. We're going to, you know, definitely focus more this year on getting everybody some intense time on track and doing some practice races. And that's a benefit as well. You get to preview a course that, you know, a lot of the top riders in the U.S. will be racing on later in the year.
Yeah, no, and I love to, I mean, the first couple of days is instruction and we talk a lot, but we also, you know, we run the drills and then we have people, you know, that breaks out. So it's not just me and 50 people, it's, you know, it's a lot of different coaches. And I think Arlie is going to be part of it.
To mention that we're going to definitely have a women's group if folks want to do that, or if not, Arlie will absolutely be there and be able to help people. So we're really trying to bring in more women, trying to get them more involved into the sport, and having Arlie there, who's taught several just women only clinics, but can, you know, is more than inclined to help the dudes too and can teach them a lot also, but it's going to be cool having her there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I think you do that instruction and then it's about putting the techniques and the formula together. And then it's nice to do some practice races at the end where, you know, either I'm racing in it or Arlie or yourself or people are there actually kind of coaching you through in the moment, because, you know, you can practice something and then, you know, if you play guitar or something, you practice, and then you get on stage and you clam up. So it's nice if you could have someone sitting there saying, like, you know, all the lines. But with us, it's like, you know, remember to do this, get off, set up, you know, step through, don't, you know, hold the bike this way, hit the inside of your leg, all these things we can sort of do in real time. And I think we really make a difference. I know we do, because when we go to the races, I see a lot of the campers and remember them, and I see them doing proper, you know, technique and not hurting themselves. And that always makes me smile when someone leaves the camp and they feel like they've gotten a lot out of it and they've you know, improved their cyclocross game in the matter of a couple of days. I like that. They come in, they have no idea, and they leave, and they're looking like they're seasoned. So that's always, for me, is super cool and fun, and I love it.
Yeah, and the last thing that I'll just add to that is one of the things that I love and that I love having you there to show campers, and it sort of goes back to my, you know, you're talking about Svenness and just how I like dissecting courses and taking lines and everything, is the course preview. As I said, we're on this DCCX court, so you're seeing features that are in that race. And a lot of times, Jeremy, you're able to look at a turn, look at a feature differently than many other people out there, and usually better, and give people that new perspective, that way to look at a corner that they may not have looked at, how to come in that they may seem counterintuitive, that after you show them, after they practice it, and it clicks, and they're like, oh yeah, I can take more speed into there, I'm faster coming out, I'm saving energy, yet still being quicker on the course.
Absolutely, yeah, and I do that a lot, and I do that, you know, I do that when I'm at the World Cups in Europe, because those guys have so much more experience on those races. I watch what they're doing, and so it's a nice opportunity to kind of look at something, analyze it, and then have them use it when they go to that race. And yeah, things like off cambers and sharp turns, you know, just looking at those things differently and learning how to use the entire course and set up properly, and you know, 3 points of contact, like get the John Tomac leg out, just going through all that stuff is like, it's stuff that you can, you know, I always say it's good to have a good coach, because it takes the energy that you're putting in and it basically just kind of is a multiplier on it. It's like, oh, I could learn this stuff by going down the wrong street many times over and over, going, you know, trying this and having it not work and trying this and having it not work. But if you have a good coach, then that person is going to be able to tell you, and like this at this clinic, you're going to have multiple coaches that are going to be able to accelerate your learning and really put everything into your head in the proper way and quickly and efficiently. So it's definitely worth your time. I think it's, if you're thinking about a way to step up your cross game this season, come out, join us, and I'll bring the cookies and Clif Bars and whatever else, noon hydration. I don't know if you have any sponsors, so I feel bad kind of plugging these.
No, they're all good. Right. Anything you want to bring, we will take.
Sponsor plugs are over, but thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, awesome. So bikereg.com. I think if you just get in there, search for Jeremy Powers, you'll see the DC Cross Camp come up. Also, you know, follow Jeremy on social media. He has links there. I have links at CX Hairs on my Instagram, on Twitter, everything else. And get signed up, because this will be a clinic that will sell out. And yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Definitely. And mark my words on the cookies, I'll bring them.
Awesome. All right. So what's your excitement level right now as far as these U.S. World Cups go?
Yeah, well, we're looking, I mean, I think, you know, we're very much looking forward to the season. There's a lot of, you know, I would say expansion and exciting things on the horizon, because we did sign Ellen and because we were growing and we have some new partners on board. There's just a lot of stuff moving and shaking in parts that I'm juggling, but the World Cups, we're talking about them more and more often, and I'm very excited for the opportunity. You know, this is I've been pretty open that these are going to be some of my, you know, probably last American World Cups. Like the next couple of years, we're going to be, you know, I'm not going to be racing in 3-4 years, so need to really focus on this. And I've talked about this opportunity of these races coming over here and how I like to do well multiple times. And so, yeah, I expect to be at close to 100% and trying to do, you know, really one of my last goals in my career, which is get on one of those podiums or improve on that sixth place last year in Vegas, or, you know, simply have a good race, like whatever that ends up being. Sometimes you change your expectation when you look at it in hindsight, but it's like, it's one of those things where I'm very excited about it, and I know the course is really well, and I know the home court advantage is very valuable. So I'm pumped, to say the least.
That's great. Yeah.
Big opportunity.
You know, as when I texted you a couple of minutes ago, I said, hey Jeremy, I just need 2 minutes of your time, and as always, you are more than gracious with that time, and I know you are super busy to give more than that and chat for a while, so thanks for doing that. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you August 12th or 14th for this clinic.
Same, and hope to see many of you out there, and enjoy the rest of your summer and train hard. See you guys soon.
All right, always good to check in with Jeremy Powers. And once again, he is going to be in DC August 12th through 14th. The 12th is at Bike Doctor of Waldorf presentation, and then 13th, 14th, 2 full days of cyclocross camp. If you go to bikereg.com, just put in Jeremy. That's really all you need to do. Search for Jeremy Powers, DC cyclocross camp will will pop up and then you can get all the information there. Next up on the show, we talk to Jens Dekker. Jens Dekker, a Dutch rider, 17 years old, junior cyclocross world champion. Cool guy. Had a great conversation with him. I'm going to warn you right now, and this is user error on my part, the audio is not where I want this to be. It was a Skype conversation. I had a couple levels here just not set where I needed them to be, and the result is I try to fix it as much as possible, but the result is not ideal. So what I've done is that I have transcribed our conversation. So you can listen to it here. If it works for you, that's awesome. It is listenable. It's just, you know, there's a little noise there. But if you want to go back, read the interview as well. I've posted that up on cxhairs.com, so you can go find a transcript of our conversation. But, you know, worth listening to as well. I hope you stay tuned because after Jens, a lot of other good stuff to get to. So Jens Dekker, let's talk with him now. Family-wise, there's definitely a tradition for you of cycling, but how did you get into the sport? Was it something that was just, you know, sort of destined for you, or did you have, were you playing other things?
Well, I think I started when I was 7 years old, I think, but at first I didn't really like cycling. I was playing to my dad watching on TV because I wanted to watch my cartoons and everything, so yeah. That's how I started, but I think the Tour de France in 2005 was when I started watching cycling, and yeah, after that, just went quite fast, and the next year, I started racing on the road.
So how old were you then when you started racing on the road?
No, I was 7 years old.
7 years old, okay. So you did that for quite some time, and what was just sort of your history of racing on the road?
I wasn't really a great rider. Just I won a few races, but not like not every race. The race was just I was one of the better guys in Holland, I think, but not really the best. I didn't have a sprint, and that's not really handy when you're living in a country that's flat like Holland. So I always had to attack, and I think that made me quite strong. And I think I started cyclocross just 2 or 3 years later, but I wasn't very good at that either. I think I won 3 races before I really started to cyclocross seriously. I think that was 3 years ago.
Did you enjoy the sport more? Was it more more compelling for you than road racing?
Not necessarily. I think cyclocross, the younger age groups is quite different in Holland because there are very narrow, twisted courses that are not very great for me because I'm not really a technical rider. So, I can really use my strength in the racing. So, that's probably why I didn't really do very well in the first few years.
Yeah, so what would you say that your strengths are, racing-wise?
Yeah, just power. I need a bit of room to build up speed and everything. So when there's like 40 corners on the course, if I just can't build up speed, then probably. So,
well, you should. It sounds very similar to what most of the courses in the U.S. look like. Lots of turns. When did you really, then, as a kid, if you're saying you didn't think you were very good, when did that change? When did that move over until you find success in cyclocross?
Yeah, well, it was as a first year under 17, I wanted to really do well on the road, but I had a crash and was sick in the preparation for the season, so I didn't really have the results I wanted to. So then I decided, well, I'm just going to move to cyclocross and try out how I will do. And I think I already won my third race, and then I think I had a streak of like 9 races where I won everyone but the Koppenberg Cross in Belgium, where I was third at the start of the last row. So I immediately knew I was quite well at the sport, so then I got the offer for a contract at the development team of BKCB. Yeah, it was quite fast, I think 2 or 3 months. Just when I started, I already had the team.
Yeah, so being on that team, you definitely have some other guys like Vanderpoel doing great. That must be good for motivation as far as the team's concerned.
Yeah, it's great motivation to also have those guys to look up to. And it's also that you don't have to win everything by yourself, because there are other guys that keep sponsors happy. You can just do your own thing, really. And if it's going well, then it's going well. But if you're not, then there are still other guys that are doing well.
The one thing I found interesting, just reading some articles, I think your uncle Eric had made the comment that you're pretty self-critical and always looking to improve. What from after winning the world championship last year, what now are you looking to improve on going forward for this year?
Well, I think more my technical skill is still a bit, it's not good enough to really compete in the elite category. I still have a few years, but I think I'm strong enough, but I just need to get the technique right, and then we'll see how it goes. But also, I haven't really trained that much, so I think that I can improve on that.
So it looked like early on, you know, after the World Championship, you were looking towards, you know, I saw you were looking towards maybe doing some mountain biking and trying to compete there. But it didn't look like you competed in the European Championships. So you put that on hold, or are you still doing some mountain bike racing?
No, I was going to, but I had a crash in Italy when I was, I had to qualify. So I already crashed on the first day there before the race had even started. So I bruised my hand, and I couldn't race. So I started in Alpsom 2 weeks ago, and I think I started from 90th position, so quite a bit back. And I finished 18th, so that was quite good. And last weekend I was second in a race here in Belgium. So still going to hope to make the team for the Worlds.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to go back. I was at Alpshot doing some film work. I'll have to go back and see if I have you on there anywhere.
I don't think so, because I was only there for 2 or 3 days because I had my exams at school. So I had to go and travel 6 hours after my exam, just the day before the race. So it wasn't really an optimal situation.
Yeah, understandable. So tell me a little bit about your background. On your Twitter handle, you know, you say half Dutch, half Australian. What's the Australian part?
Yeah, my mom's Australian. So, that's...
Have you spent any time in Australia?
I've been there twice now, I think. So it's only the 3 weeks time. So not much time, but, you know, I have my family, half my family is there. So I intend to go over there soon, but I don't know when.
So, as far as the last year, I mean, you pretty much couldn't ask for a better year as far as results go. You know, talk me through just going into that World Championship, how you were feeling, and what your strategy was for that race.
I knew I was probably going to be the best, because Jasper was feeling sick the last few weeks before the World, so... He was the only guy that had really beaten me in a direct race, you know. So, I knew I was probably going to be strongest, and only the first lap would be kind of dangerous. The first corner is very slippery there, shoulder, so especially with all the rain that had come down just the night before the race. So, I just knew I had to start all right and just don't crash and then take the lead, when it was possible, and I did just that, and I think I already had 3 seconds the first lap,
So what does that do, you know, winning the World Championship? How does that set you up for this season? You know, what what are you going to be racing, and what are your goals going forward?
Well, you know, it's always different in the new category, and I'm fortunate to still be able to race in the just a separate category for the under 23 in Holland and Belgium, because I don't, in America, I think it's more the races are separate, so you have to compete with the elite guys immediately, and that's not the case here. So I have a few years to develop, but I don't really know what I'm going to be able to do, because you know, I've finished my school, my high school, and I'm not going to college or something, so I've got loads more time to train and just work at my my skills and everything. So it's hard to know what I'm going to be able to do, but I hope that I can be able to come close to Hades, because he's very strong, and I think it would be nice to be able to beat him only once, and more than that would be awesome.
As far as, like, you know, we always hear stories about guys' success in cyclocross and then wanting to go and move over to the road. Are you done with that? Or are you not sure? Or what's your feeling about racing on the road at this point?
I still have time. I'm only 17. Yeah, I don't know yet. It's all, I like to race on the road. It's just a bit boring to do all the training, long hours on the bike. So, yeah, I don't know. It's so far away. I think a lot can happen in a few years that are coming. And, you know, if there's a road team that's coming to offer me a contract, I don't really know what I'm going to do. But for the moment, I'm really happy in cyclocross. And, I think I'll still continue to do this for a few years. So
for people listening to this who, you know, hear your story and your success, but also are getting into the sport more at the amateur level, what do you think is a good piece of advice that you can pass on to a new racer?
I think it's very important to stay smooth and don't crash in everything, because I see a lot of riders in Europe, at least in Belgium, to just go into corners and race as hard as they can, and then they crash it often, and I think it's more important to just stay smooth and just stay upright, and because you can lose a lot of time, and also your health is important. So I think that's how I do it. Don't crash and don't have chemicals and everything. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I think that we see as a big difference between, you know, the racing that we see in the U.S. versus, especially at the pro level, you know, European racing, is it's a lot more physical, and there's a lot more physical contact. You know, can you just give people a little picture of what that's like? It seems like there's a lot more bumping, you know, and it's something that people aren't getting upset about because it's just part of the race.
Yeah, I don't know how it is in America, because, you know, I've never been there, but it is really, if you're not the first off the line, and the first, if you don't get the whole shot, you will be... will be guys that try to just knock you off the bike to gain a spot in the top 10. So, that's mainly the first lap. It's really, really physical, and that's what I said with the Worlds. You know, I just had to go and get through the first lap, because, you know, a lot can happen there. It's really hard to just stay upright, really.
You know, it maybe Worlds accepted since that race you won, so I'm sure that, you know, track has a special place for you. But what's your favorite race to go to? What's your favorite course?
Well, I've been to Coxside this year, and for the first time, and I really love the sand. So I think that's probably going to be my favorite track. But also Zonhoven is really nice with the Kelp, with the sand. You know, there's I don't know how many people, but more than 1,000, I think, and just cheering you on already at the junior, because that's 11 o'clock in the morning, and then there's already like 1,000 people, so yeah, that's amazing to go down there. But but I think Brookside is probably my favorite.
You obviously like riding in the sand. I guess that's, you know, appeals to your power. Is that what you think is one of your specialties or what you hope to build?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why exactly, because my technical skills for the rest of them are really amazing, but yeah, I like the sand, and I'm quite good at it, so yeah.
Any tips you can give folks for you know, being successful riding through the sand?
I think it's very important to stay in the rut, because when you're out of that rut, you'll probably come to the standstill, and yeah, I think it's important to stay in the rut, but also power is really important to stand, because sometimes there is no rut, then you just have to power through, and that's probably where I gained seconds.
Nice. So this may seem like an odd question, but it's one that I ask all the people that I talk to that race, because food-wise, and especially breakfast, race day, what are you eating for breakfast?
Normally I'm just in a hotel, so I'll eat what the hotel offers, so mainly bread.
If you weren't in a hotel and just had your choice, what would it be?
I think still bread. I'm always in a hotel, so...
So, outstanding.
If I'm able to do it myself, maybe I'll cook some pasta, but I think just bread. I think it's going to be different this year, because I'm not now I'm about 3 hours after breakfast, so it's fine. But next year I'll be racing later in the day, so it may change what I'm eating for breakfast, but.
So other than cycling, what do you do with your time?
Cycling, I went to school until just a week ago or something, so that filled up most of my time. So and the rest was all training and figuring out what I was going to do in the training. So I didn't have much time for other things. So
good deal. So what's up next? Is it more mountain biking, or what's next on your schedule?
Yeah, well, I hope to make the team for Worlds in mountain biking, and after that I'll do some road racing, and then it's preparing for the next cyclocross season.
Yeah.
What's your training looking like right now? Like, what's your typical day on the road?
I just recently changed my strategy, because I was really, because I'm having a bit of problems with hay fever. Allergies and everything, and it's quite heavy this year, so I'm quite tired, and it's not really helping my training, but I changed to do more intensive work, and I just got out the cyclocross bike 2 weeks ago, because I felt I was getting the training done on the road and on the mountain bike, because you can't really train on mountain bike yet, because it's just very flat, and that's not what a mountain bike's made for. Yeah, I really like the cyclocross bike to do my efforts, and it's a bit hot, too hot to do cyclocross now, but still.
Yeah, so once it gets closer to the season, you know, what's a normal week look like, just as far as how many days you're training on the road versus how many days you're training on the dirt on your cyclocross bike?
Well, I'm really riding, doesn't follow the main path that a lot of Belgian riders do, because I like to train on my cyclocross bike, and I don't really like putting the miles in on the road, so usually it's the Wednesday is the main training week, so that will be 2 to 3 hours on the cyclocross bike, and really intense training and efforts and just sprints and everything, so usually there's or the team does the training, or for me it was mostly the national training in Holland, because Belgium is a little too far away to travel there after school, so for the team training. So I'll do the big training on Wednesday, and the rest of the days depends on when the race will be. So if it's just a Sunday race, I'll probably do a recon of the course the day before, and days in between, the day after the race will be just an easy ride, because for recovery, and in between I'll do some shorter cycle string, or some endurance work on the road. Just depends on when I'm in season, when season I am at that moment.
Great. No, that sounds good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. That's really all the questions I had. I did want to congratulate you on the World Championship, and we are all going to be following your career in the U23s this coming year and looking forward to it.
All right, that was great talking to Jens. Hopefully we can get him back on the show later in the year and I can do a better job audio engineering that follow-up conversation so it's easier to listen to. But again, the full transcript of our conversation is available at cxhairs.com. Next up, we have a conversation with Evie Richards, who's a U23 cyclocross world champion. World champion episode here at Crosshairs Radio. I spoke to Evie during one of the practice days at La Bresse, where she was preparing to race the World Cup mountain bike race, cross-country mountain bike race in La Bresse, France. It was just a great, great opportunity to catch up with her. She is just has a really fun personality, just totally upbeat. Her story is amazing, just simply amazing. Her rise in this sport, you know, coming from not hardly racing at all to winning a world championship, and we go through all of that. So let's do that now. Let's talk to Evie Richards. We're at La Bresse mountain biking.
Yeah.
Is this where you got into cycling from mountain biking? Was this what you started with, the discipline?
Yeah. I was a hockey player. And my dad had a ride to work scheme and he had a mountain bike, so I live on the hills, so it was sort of just the obvious choice really. I never really thought about road or anything else, but it was just, I love being in the fresh air and the mountains were the way to do it.
So how old when you started? How old, when you first started riding, and then when was the first time that you actually raced your bike?
So it was probably, I'd say around 3 years ago, so I'm 19 now, so mm-hmm. It was around sort of the age of 16. I got to like tier below England hockey trials, and it was, fitness was really important, and that's why I was succeeding in hockey. It wasn't because I was skillful or anything. So they told me to pick another sport just to keep on top of the fitness. And
so when you say hockey, you mean like, yeah, field hockey, ice,
like
hockey?
Like field hockey,
field,
yeah,
hockey?
That's
okay,
it.
Just gotta clarify.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. And I'd done every sport at school. I was one of those kids that just wanted to do everything, and cycling was the only thing that I hadn't touched a bike really, apart from like riding it as a kid a bit. But so me and my dad started just riding, and we did a couple. He entered me like in a national, so it was quite big, and I snapped my chain and everything went wrong. And from there I just did a few races, and before I knew it I was racing in Norway, after in the Worlds in Norway, after like a year of racing. So it all came around pretty quick, so I was really lucky.
So that sort of tracks the same with your success in cyclocross, where, you know, and you can tell, but you didn't really race cyclocross outside of the UK until Worlds?
Yeah, I didn't really race cyclocross at all. I started, obviously I'd done a few local cross races when I was like a bit younger, but this year I really wanted to use cyclocross to improve my fitness, and I initially went to some local ones Saturday and Sunday, just like an hour away from my house, and I was racing them on one bike, just me, and just completely running everything. And and then I entered a few like of the nationals, and Worlds was always on my agenda. I had a training camp in Mallorca, and I didn't go too deep because I knew that Worlds was where I wanted to be. And after getting, after winning Quash Nationals, that was it. I got selected and first race away.
Did you have any gauge going in? So it was the U23 race, first year of that, but a lot of strong women. Did you have any idea of how well you could do?
I had no idea of where I'd come, and I'm one of those people, I don't like looking at the start list, and I don't really like looking at the course beforehand. I was just gonna go and ride my race, and if I was quick enough, then I was quick enough on the day.
So when you get to staging, where are you staged?
What's this?
Where were you? How many lines back? Rows
I was
back
on the,
you?
I think second to last row. So I got a trophy from winning Cross Worlds, and it's got the start on, and I'm nowhere to be seen. So I think you can see my helmet just at the back, but you couldn't see me.
We were able to watch the race. Conditions were
poor.
Yeah.
But how long did it take you, since they were concentrated on the front? It only took you like a lap or so, really, to move up, right?
Yeah, I think it was after half a lap I was in front, but in the race I didn't know I was in front then. I saw how fast the girls went off at the start, and on the start straight I couldn't move through. And coming over to the bridge, I just kept cutting a corner or getting on the inside of people, and before I knew it, I transitioned quite well over the bridge, overtook a couple of girls before the descent, thinking there was people to keep going on to. And then it wasn't until I came down the finishing straight on the first lap, I was like, oh, that's it, I'm gonna have to keep going now because I'm in front.
Yeah, and was that then it just put your head down, try not to make mistakes and go as hard as you can?
Yeah, no, I was just trying to push like I do in the efforts at home with the people at my club, and I was just trying not to puncture on the last lap or anything, because I don't race tubs very often, and so I'm still like a bit cautious on the bike, really, on a cross bike.
So how about like, are you comfortable, you know, changing bikes, dismounting, all of these, what we would call, you know, cyclocross specific yeah. skills?
I wouldn't say they're practiced or anything, but I can jump on and off a bike easily. But if you looked at my two bikes from Crossworlds, Tracy let me borrow Katie Crumpton's bike, and I decided I'd ride that for Crossworlds, and I hadn't raced that all year. And they were completely different, my two bikes. One was electronic, one was not. I had two different sets of tubs, different speeds on each bike, so they were so not equal, jumping on and off couldn't really be smooth. So.
Yeah, no, but that's great though. You came yeah. in there with almost like you're going to a local race yeah, with a mixed match it. Equipment, like yeah. like the rest of us
yeah.
do. At the end of the race, just watching it, your genuineness and I think astonishment about winning, and just after that, was just amazing to watch, you know. How surreal was it? What was going through your head?
I think a local photographer from England asked me what I was thinking when I was coming down the last straight, because I kept looking behind my shoulder, and it was generally just because I couldn't believe that there was no one on my wheel, and I honestly thought that someone would catch me or something would happen on the last bit. I just kept looking behind because I couldn't believe it, and my dad always says check your shoulder just in case. So I think I've grown up with Tracy, and I've seen so many people fight so hard for a world's jersey, and for me just to get it in my first cross race abroad, it didn't feel real at all.
So now that you have the rainbow jersey, people want to see it.
Yeah.
So how does your going from not racing outside of the UK last year, how does that change your schedule for the upcoming season?
We thought about it quite a lot, and I've fallen in love with cross now, so I wanna ride the jersey wherever I can, really. I think after mountain bike season, I'm gonna have a bit of an off season. I thought about going into Cross Vegas, and it's still a possibility, but I'm gonna hit the end of the season hard, and hopefully it'll benefit me towards the start of the mountain bike season as well, because I love them both, so I've gotta balance it.
Well, I know it makes for a short off season, but I hope you make it out to Cross Vegas
yeah.
and also to Jingle Cross.
Yes.
I think those are fun races.
Yeah,
to do. I know it's
great.
A hassle to get over there, but
it'll be amazing. I've never been out Europe, so I'm sure it'll be amazing.
So we're here, you know, talking about cyclocross, but we're at a mountain bike race.
Yeah.
So that is your first sport at La Bresse. You've ridden it a couple days. What do you think so far, and what do you think is going to happen once we get to the weekend?
It's quite a technical course. I'm a bit of a baby, I'd say, at descending sometimes, but once I've got the lines, and in the race, I'm pretty heads down and I just go for it. So after riding each day, it's dried out, and there's some really good ruts towards the end. So it's a really cool course to ride, and I'm feeling pretty good. I've had quite a bit of rest, which has been nice. So I'm excited to hit the race, really.
Awesome. When I started covering cyclocross, one question that I asked everybody, which may seem a bit strange, is what do they have for breakfast? So I'm going to ask that to you, especially like what's your race day breakfast?
I got a bit of an obsession with porridge the night before the race and the day of the race. So they were teasing me in the hotel when I was asking for it the night before. But when I came back the next day, they were like, oh, it's okay. We forgive you for keeping us up at night. But yeah, I like a lot of porridge.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
All right. That was Evie Richards. Or is it Evie Richards? I should probably check on that. Once again, pronunciation. Sorry. Y'all can hit me up on Twitter and let me know, as I'm sure you will. Anyway, Miss Richards is available on Twitter at EVIEE underscore ALICEE. I will let you know that both this conversation that we just listened to and also the one coming up with Tom Mason, they were video interviews that I did. Usually when I do a video interview, I cut myself out of it, so I sound a little muffled or even less energetic in my questioning. That's mainly because I try to keep it low-key, because I'm later going to edit all that out to make it into a video format. It's just a little look behind the curtain there on how these things work, as opposed to the podcast where, you know, I want to have more of a conversation. So another note, with these conversations coming up, especially the last one we just had, and with Mason, and also with Jens before, hopefully that we can come back, have longer conversations with all these folks. Let's look at this as more of a sampler. And next up on that sampler plate is Tom Mason, who was in Germany at Alpstadt. Another World Cup mountain bike race. Was able to catch up with him. He visited us at the Trek tent, was borrowing some kit, borrowing some tires, and it was really good to have a conversation with him. You will not meet a nicer man. So let's talk to Tom.
It's very nice to be here. Mountain biking, I'm not really great in it, but I like it a lot. The technical aspect of cycling is always cool, and I don't like to ride a whole summer on the road, so for me it's ideal for to do something else and to enjoy cycling.
Are you getting any air off of that off the descent?
Yeah, it's nice. It's getting dry. I hope to see a little bit more mud here, like in cyclocross, but it's okay. My technique is good. It's just I'm not fast enough in the climbing.
So sort of a change with Telenet this year. You looking forward to next season?
Yeah, for sure. The Trek bikes are the biggest difference. I ride since my when I was 12 years old with Ridley, and I rode with nothing else. So it's nice to have new things to see, and it's really cool.
How about the change? I saw like Sven Van Tornhout now coaching you. That seems like a, what are you looking now to get out of that relationship?
Yeah, last year I switched coaches, and now I feel really the advantage of Sven riding still last year, and he's so close with everything and all the trainings. Training is not the right word but for us it's training. he does everything together, like the core stability and the running, and he makes a nice package from it, and I think it's working out, because I feel great.
So I'm blanking on the name, but the race where it has the beach, it's in the sand, and then there's almost like a step or something, and this year you attacked.
Yeah.
Was that just to get to it first, so you didn't have to dismount?
Yeah, it's nice that they put some stuff like that in it. It don't have to be always suffering. Sometimes it's nice to have some jumps in it. So it's the race in Mol, and it's a track where there's not a lot of mud, but there's so much sand and in the woods that it's really a nice track for us. So that we don't get all dirty in the Molom after the race, that it's nice, very nice track.
Yeah, well, I can tell you most of us are always cheering for you to do well, but also just that you look like you're having fun on your bike is a great thing.
Yeah, they always laugh with my pain face, so it's that's the reason I have to find some stuff in the track, that I have to be faster, that my pain face can rest a little bit.
Awesome. Thanks so much for talking.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Last but not least on our sampler show today. We are going to check in with JB Hancock of the Alma GP, Scott Diedenbach of Cyclocross Network, and Sean Cooley of Australian Cyclocross Magazine for a rundown of what's going on in Australia right now. They are in the middle of their cyclocross season, so these guys are giving you a little taste of what is going on in Australian cyclocross. JB was nice enough to do this interview and send it in to the show, and happy to play this for you all. I'm not going to come back after that one's done because you've listened to me ramble on enough. I just wanted to, one, remind everybody, August 12th through 14th, DC Cyclocross Camp with Jeremy Powers. Go to bikereg.com, search for Jeremy Powers, search for DC Cyclocross Camp. That should come up. You can get all the information and sign up there. Also want to remind everybody to check out the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. Go to wideanglepodium.com. Check out the other shows. Become a member. It's really important. It's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of investment, but it really helps us do what we want to do. I know you have all heard this spiel before. But it's true, you know, it's paying for server costs, it's paying for, I'm actually buying another microphone boom stand so I can have more guests in here and we're not knocking around and making noise during the podcast. So go look at the other shows, check out Slow Ride Podcast, The Meyerson Line, Honest Bicycle Program, check out Kids Don't Follow, that's the music podcast that I do. All great shows, all worth your time. Doesn't take a lot to give back and make it so the Wide Angle Podium is in the black. That's what we're shooting for. We're trying to make this a network that is sustainable, and I think it is worth your time to do that. So wideanglepodium.com, become a member. And now let's check in on Australian cyclocross.
All right, CX Hairs Radio. This is friend of the podcast, JB Hancock. I'm here with Mr. Scotty Diedenbach. Scotty D, what's going on?
Not much, man. It's supposed to be, it's Mr. is for David Palin only.
Oh, that title is reserved.
Yes, right. Yeah, from They Don't Do That in Europe. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. And then also joining us, amazingly, upside down on my Skype screen. I'm not sure if that's the same thing for you, Scotty, but from Australia, Sean Cooley.
Hi, JV. How you going, mate? My picture's not upside down where I'm sitting.
You should.
neither is yours either.
You should do that, Sean. Put your picture upside down. That'd be awesome.
So, Sean, tell us a little bit about who you are and what your relationship is with Cross.
I'm the editor of Australian Cyclocross Magazine, but obviously before that, I've been a cyclocrosser for 7 or 8 years now. Pretty much since it really started taking off in Australia, I've been involved with my local series since that began. I was race director of the series for a couple of years as well, and actually just stepped back this year, but I'm still quite involved. And I've gotten around to the Australian National Series to every single round ever since inception in 2012, and have enjoyed racing every single one.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And, of course, recently off of an injury. So happy to have you speaking and eating solid foods.
Yes, it was great to taste my first bit of steak in a very long time. Just last week.
For people that don't know, Sean like fell off his cross bike, right, and smacked your jaw.
I did. I smacked my jaw and got myself a ride in ambulance to hospital, nice. And then wired shut for 6 weeks.
in a wicked amazing accident too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It was a horrible accident.
Well, so Sean, we got you here today because we want to talk a little bit about the Australian scene and riders that are going to be potentially coming over to the US and then also Europe. So first off, I think let's pick a little bit up from the World Championships last year. I think you guys had 11 racers in spanning all categories from elite men, elite women, under 23 men and women, and then also the juniors.
Yeah, that's right. I think we. I think the thing to focus on is it was our most successful world championship campaign that the country has ever had, where every rider that finished did finish on the lead lap. We've never had that before. If you had asked me even 3 years ago if we could get an elite male to finish on the lead lap at the World Championships, I would say we would be another 5 years off. So to see both Gary Milburn and Chris Jonglewood finish on that lead lap this year was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And then the elite women, also there was a lot of TV time. I don't know if you paid attention to that, but towards the end of the elite women's coverage, both Natalie and Josie ended up, I think, with some extended personal time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to miss the Australian white skin suit, which is perfect for cyclocross.
I still, you know, I mean, I know we're talking about worlds, but I still have in the back of my head the picture of Jack Hogan holding up the beer at Cross Vegas at the end of that race. Remember?
Yeah, the white and green and gold seems a little more suited for the Cross Vegas environment. Right. With
did he have pizza in the other hand?
Yeah, he might have.
No, well, he was in Alma. He ate all of the pizza possible, and so America.
He
was
does
on a
have
shortage.
A reputation to look after.
So yeah, people need to. If you're watching, I just rewatched Cross Vegas not that long ago, and if you watch it all the way to the end, you see Jack finishing at the end, and he gets a little bit of a hand up there right near the end and holds it in the air in victory.
That is a victory. So Sean, can you tell us a little bit about the Australian National Series and kind of what that's structured like and where that's headed here?
Yes, the National Series this year has only just been announced. It was a little bit late, but this year we'll have five rounds over three weekends, but the final round will also be held in conjunction with our national championships in Adelaide at the end of August. The first two rounds will be up just north of Brisbane, and they will be in the beginning of July, and then the middle two rounds will be held by Fields of Joy Cyclocross down in Melbourne, and they will be in the beginning of August.
Awesome. And then Scott, I think I'm not really sure, right, but there is some sort of connection that might be happening after those nationals and final rounds with what you guys are putting together.
Yeah, so when is Nationals for you guys, Sean, again?
Nationals is on the 20th of August with the final National Series round on the 21st.
Okay, yeah, and I mean two of the riders that you just mentioned, Chris Aitken, right? Well, we mentioned him as part of the Worlds team, and Tom Chapman from the Australian Focus team. Do you want to say it, Sean, or? No, I'll say it. They're coming over. They are coming to the U.S. I mean, we got to meet these guys last year, JB. They came over. They raced here in Michigan at the Alma GP. They raced Rochester. They raced Vegas. We got to know them a little bit. And over the course of the last, well, since Cross Vegas, we kind of, you know, the team that I help manage, the Women's CX Project, travels around the country nationally, you know, to all the big races. And I kind of started talking with those two guys, and I said, you know, what is the biggest impediment to you guys getting to come over here for an extended period of time, say like 2 months? And they both immediately at the same time said, having a place to stay. And I was like, well, I can solve that for you, right? That's no problem. So we've done that. We've got that all worked out. So those two guys, Chris Aitken, Tom Chapman from Focus, the Australian Focus team, will be coming to the U.S. They're going to be hanging out with our team, traveling with our team in our tent for the months of September and October, going to several C1s, going to Jingle Cross, and it's just going to be awesome time to have them here. And we're announcing it here first, JB.
This is first, right? Wow,
this is
amazing.
The first time. Yeah, so people come, if you come into any of those races, any of the C1 races in September and October, come find our Women's CX Project tent. You can't miss it. It's orange, blue, and black. Come and say hi. We'd love to see anybody. the fit worked out great, you know, because our team rides Focus bikes. So Focus has been Focus America has been very interested. We're still talking with them about what's going on and how we can continue to promote the great Focus bikes that both they and us ride. They ride the Challenge tires like we do. So we got that sponsor in common too, two of our biggest sponsors. So yeah, it's just going to be a blast, man. And we cannot wait to have these two guys back. They were so fun to have last year, and hoping to get them some really good experience over here in the US.
Yeah, those two guys will be really, really great with you over there. They've got a lot of experience. Chris is the current Australian under 23 national champion, as well as the current national series champion from 2015, and Tom Chapman was the 2014 under 23 national champion, and the year before that went to the world championships.
Now, you know, I don't know if it's made Chris's resume also, but he also was the 2015 Alma Grand Prix of Cyclocross champion, so I don't know if that is highlighted on his resume somewhere. But
I apologize, JB, I should have mentioned that first.
Now, this is also then, of course, not the first time that Australians have come over, right? So people paying attention to the U.S. scene, well, also, I guess the Canadian scene. Gary Milburn was in North America for an extended period of time with Fiona, and I don't know if what their plans are for this fall. Do you have any idea, Sean?
They haven't made an announcement of what their plans are beyond the Australian cyclocross season, but I do get the feeling that they will either spend some time in America or depending on how the Australian season goes, potentially another tilt at Europe.
Okay. And then also we had Josie Simpson, after spending some time in Rochester and then in Michigan, here was in Colorado, well, went to Vegas, and Courtney Lechoy was there too, but she ended up spending some time in Colorado, I think, then before actually heading home.
Yeah, that's right. She did a couple of UCI races before she headed home, where Courtney came home straight after Cross Vegas. Okay. But again, not quite sure what Josie's up to this year. I don't get to see all those guys until the first weekend of June, and then I start asking them what they're going to get up to.
And a brilliant write-up of all that whole trip over here in the latest Australian Cyclocross magazine, man.
Yeah, and those guys make it so easy to get that information out, and they make our magazine look absolutely fantastic. I'd say, yeah, to Courtney, tell us about your trip. And then he starts babbling on. They say, all right, now write it down.
Now write five pages. Yeah, it was a great, really, and it was so cool. As, you know, being a part of that whole trip, you know, remembering it as I was reading that. So people definitely, I mean, go check out Australian Cyclocross Magazine. You will not be disappointed. It's an electronic version. You can get it as soon as you pay for it. It's not very expensive. I think it's $4 or $5, and it's just, it'll, you know, you'll spend the afternoon flipping through the pages. So just a little plug for that in there, Sean.
Thanks a lot, Scott. It is a good way to get to know the good guys of Australian Cyclocross.
Absolutely. And be reading about cross that's going on that matters right now while we're here in the Northern Hemisphere in their off season. So
exactly.
That's right. Cross never sleeps. We're right in the thick of our cross season right now.
Well, that's fantastic. Let's kind of wrap this. So, Sean, could you tell us where people can get in touch with you if they're looking for more information?
If you're looking for more information, you can catch me on Twitter or Instagram at AusCXMag. That's AusCXMag. Or you can hit me up at our website, which is AustralianCXMagazine.com.au.
And Scotty D, I know you're a regular on this. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just listen, Crosshairs Radio. Check us out when we do a They Don't Do That in Europe show. If you want to tweet to me, at CyclocrossNet is my Twitter handle, and I'll get back with you.
Awesome. And again, I'm JB Hancock. You can get me on Twitter at TheAlmaGP. Or if you want to laugh, you can go to at AlmaGP Umbrella for that short-lived experience. But so, hey, guys.
Thanks again to Courtney.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much for joining with us today. And we will chat soon.